Should we all just say this once more together? Because it's really good advice. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21. Okay, that's good, Wannan. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Romans 12, verse 18. So always good to remember that, isn't it?
25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die.
Now I think we go to our hymn books then. And it is 10:45. It's kind of taken up the theme of what our service is going to be talking about today, From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable by the Spirit and the Virgin's Faith. So starting with Christmas, we're going to be talking about Jesus' temptation and his baptism. Wonderful. Did you catch those words at the end of verse 3 there? Death defeated by Emmanuel. That's wonderful, isn't it? Dear Lord God, we just thank you that we can all gather here this morning and on this wonderful Sunday morning to worship you, to remember and to hear and learn more about the way you came to this earth as a baby and how you were baptized and also tempted by the devil. Lord, we just pray that as we listen and think about these things, Lord, that we can think about how we live our lives and what you have done in order to help us as well, Lord. So we thank you for one another. We thank you that we can share each other's joys and sorrows, and we can be a blessing to one another and a help and encouragement. So thank you for that. And we just pray that this morning we can concentrate on you. We can forget the stuff that fills our minds from in normal life, but Lord, that we can concentrate on you. So we ask this now in your name. Amen. But I would like us now to be thinking about the beginning of the New Testament. And we see what happens at the beginning of the New Testament. Jesus is born. Exactly right. And Jesus comes. And Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would have various names given for him. We may think of them better as titles, perhaps, rather than all names. And one of them, and so these names sort of meant a lot more back in those olden days. So the name would give somebody their identity, but it would also be talking about their destiny. What will they become? What will I become when I'm getting even older? You know, and so a name was really, really important to get the right name and to understand its meaning. And Jesus had many titles and names, as I just said, some prophesied by Isaiah. Anybody remember those Isaiah said? Sorry? Wonderful Counselor, yeah. Prince of Peace, yeah. Mighty God, yeah. Emmanuel, did Isaiah say that one? I'm not quite sure, but Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And so, right at the beginning of the New Testament, we're seeing God with us. Now, we did see in the Old Testament that God came on certain times and occasions. Anybody remember any particular occasions when we remember God being with? Walking in the Garden of Eden, yeah. And I was thinking of when Moses met God in that burning bush. And also there's a time when Solomon had built the temple and there was a kind of cloud of God's presence had come into that temple with the people watching on. But now at the beginning of the New Testament, we see that Jesus comes and God takes on a human body. Just like our bodies, that was how Jesus, God came to be with us, to be God in this kind of human body. Not into a big, strong sort of He-Man rescuing character, but he came as a tiny baby. Do you know, I saw our granddaughter the other day and she was really, really, really small. I was shocked. Babies come really small. And that's how Jesus came. Really tiny, totally dependent on his mother and father to for life, to live And that was how Jesus came. And so we got our memory verse there. Anybody remember this? Luke 2:11? For okay, so that's telling us that Jesus has an identity. He is our Savior, and He is Christ the Lord. So His name is Jesus, but we have His identity as the Messiah, the Savior, and His name is Jesus. Jesus means rescuer, Savior. And so we're learning about what Jesus is going to do through His name here, aren't we? Now, back in those days, Rome was in charge of Israel, along with a whole host of other places around. And basically, Rome had two rules that you had to keep. And if you kept these rules, life was okay. One was you had to pay taxes to Rome. And the other one was you had to pay homage to Caesar, or special honor to Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire. And basically, if you did those two rules, they would leave you in peace. That was their kind of attitude towards these stranger people in the land of Israel. But I want you to contrast that with what the angels said to the shepherds in the fields. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. And Jesus was bringing peace to this world. The Roman Empire said, we'll leave you in peace. Go and find your own peace. You know, we won't bother you too much as long as you do those two things. But Jesus was bringing peace. He was bringing peace to us with Him. Who was His message for? Was it for the Romans? Was it for the priests? The religious leaders of the day? First of all, it was for those shepherds on the hillside, wasn't it? They were the ones who received this message from the angel. Can you imagine? You're out there in a dark night, just the same as any other night. You're probably a bit cold and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be totally boring all night long with these old sheep. All of a sudden, the sky is filled with angels singing and praising. And you know, you're going to be blown away, aren't you? These were the uneducated manual workers of the day. You know, those that kept the country going last year through the lockdown, those on minimum wages. That's a bit like the shepherds. You know, they were out in the middle of the night doing the work while everybody else slept. But they received that message. But you know, that message is for all of us, isn't it? We all need God's peace. We have all done wrong stuff. We've all sinned. We've got things wrong. We've made mistakes. And Jesus is coming to bring us peace, to bring us forgiveness. And so, yes, the shepherds were the first to receive that message, but the message is for all of us. And we need to listen hard. Matthew 5 verse 3, I think it's going to come up. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. So the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You see, we have to realize our need for Jesus. And then the kingdom of heaven is ours. And so with that in our minds, I think we could go into a prayer time now, and we can pray that we will indeed realize the need in our lives of God and of Jesus. And we can pray for one another. We can thank God for Logan's hand healing up, and all sorts of things we can pray about. So should we just have a time of prayer now? I'll just start that, and then it'd be great if others can pray too, and we can all say amen. So, Lord, we just thank You that You are a God who listens to our needs. Lord, You've brought peace to us through Jesus, that You told the shepherds originally, and that You've told us through Your word. And so we just pray that we can realize our need of You, Lord. Lord, we can get education, we can get life experience, it can help us a lot, but we need You so much as well, Lord. We cannot live well without You. And so we just pray that we can recognize this in our own lives, and we can be humble enough to look to You for wisdom and guidance in our lives. Help us now in this time, Lord. Amen. After the Christmas account in our New Testament, we don't really hear much about Jesus apart from when He was 12. He went to the temple. And does anybody remember what He was doing there? What was going on? No, it's not that occasion. You're a good try, though. Well, they were selling Mary. Yeah, that's right. Jesus, age 12, was talking to the religious leaders who would have been like really ancient compared to him. And they were amazed at Jesus' knowledge about the scriptures and about God and everything like that. And Jesus was just talking to these, and his parents went on and forgot all about him, didn't they, for a bit? And were sure, very embarrassed, I'm sure, later on. But that was Jesus in the temple, age 12. But we're going to zoom forward to when he was 30. Now, being 30 is unimaginable for some of you, but for others, three times, twice nearly, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? But being 30 was the minimum age for a priest in Israel. And so that was interesting that Jesus started teaching when he was 30. So I want us to have a quiz now, and you know the rules of the quiz. We're going to have some interesting stuff come up, and then we stand up when you know the answer. So this is a person. My name means the Lord is gracious. Isaiah said some things about me. I puzzled people. I was laid in a tomb. I was put in prison. I was called a Pharisee. I called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. I spent time in the desert. Mark starts with me. Herodias hated me. I got wet a lot. That's a good clue. I told people to repent. A dance got me killed. I ate locusts and wild honey. My head was on a platter. I am John the Baptist. Well done. Excellent. So John the Baptist is kind of unusual character, we could suggest. But John was a cousin of Jesus. And if you remember when Mary, Jesus' mother, was pregnant, she went off to see her cousin Elizabeth. And the baby jumped inside the womb, didn't it, because of that connection they had there. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth while they were both pregnant for 3 months or so, was it? And so that was the back way 30 years previous. But now John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. So he's down in the south of the country of Israel, and he's preaching there near the River Jordan. And does anybody know what he says? What does John preach about? Do you know the one-liner? And then we'll have the Bible reading. Anybody? Repentance. He's saying, repent because he's saying one greater. Yeah, the kingdom of God is near. He's saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near. So can we have our first reading, please, from Matthew 3, 1 to 11. And this will tell us all about John the Baptist and what he's been saying this time.
In those days, John the Baptist came to Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, here is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord is coming, clear the road for him. John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Even even now the axe is laid to the roots of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, that whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Right, so there was John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. So let's just think about the context of this. The people had waited 400 years from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. Jesus was born, and then they had to wait another 30 years for John the Baptist to start preaching, saying, prepare your hearts for Jesus. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. So think of the kingdoms around. Well, back along we had Babylonian kingdom over there, didn't we, that the people of Judah got taken off to. We had the Babylonian kingdom. They got taken over by the Persian kingdom. They got taken on by the Roman kingdom, I believe. But now we're talking about the kingdom of God. And so there's all this stuff going on, but it's really important. The kingdom of God is a big New Testament theme in the Gospels here. And so John is baptizing the people down in the River Jordan. River Jordan runs down through the middle of our room on our map. And here, and the people are listening to him. The people are thinking, what's going on? He's saying, get ready. Something big is about to happen. And so the people are realizing their need of something more. It's this peace that Jesus is going to bring. You know, that God-shaped hole inside of our hearts is being, yes, perhaps this is what we need to fill that God-shaped hole in our hearts. And so the people were flocking to John the Baptist. And John was saying, repent, saying, be sorry for what you've got wrong, your sins. Change your behavior and follow God, because sin has no place in the kingdom of God. So technically, these people, they weren't becoming Christians at this point, but they were realizing their need of Jesus. Do you know what Jesus said? Blessed are those who realize their need of him, and the kingdom of God will be theirs. And these people were realizing that they needed something more. They really needed Jesus to come into their hearts. And so they were interested in what John was saying. And so let's have a think about baptism for a minute. John the Baptist and baptism. We hear of Baptist churches. But this is from Ronnie Haybor out in Borneo. Now, Jill and I have actually been to this river. This is a river in the middle of Borneo. Borneo is a huge island above Australia, if you're not familiar with where it is. And it's on the equator. So if you're out there, you just walk into the river with all your clothes on, and you come out again, and about 10 minutes later, you're dry. And even if you're not, you don't worry about it, because it's quite nice being a bit cooler. But this Ronnie Haybor is got a vision for build a village of 1,000 children. And he teaches them about Jesus, and they say, yeah, we want to be baptized. And this is a picture of them going into the river to be baptized. They're queuing up to be baptized. So let's move on to the next one. This is our son Simeon with his daughter Amy, and she wants to be baptized. So they're in a church in Taunton. They've got a nice bath in the floor of the church. And so Simeon is probably saying something like, Amy, do you believe that Jesus has forgiven your sins? And so she says, yes, I do. And so let's have the next one. And so he says, well, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he puts her right under the water, and then he brings her back up again. And so this is a picture of it's a picture of changing from one life to another. And so you're dying to your old life. So you say, I'm going to change, I'm going to die to the old one. So you go under the water, and then you come to the new life when you come up out of the water. But it's a symbol, you know, it's a bit like the bread and the wine. It's a symbol. We say that it's the body and blood of Jesus. They're symbols. And so this is what baptism is. And now, it could well be that some of us have been baptized as babies. And that was a decision of our parents. And that's all great, because our parents would have been saying that we want you to know God, to grow up knowing God. And so that's good. But this is a decision of a believer. And they're saying, yes, no, I'm making up my own mind. I want to follow Jesus. I want to receive his forgiveness. And so I'm going to be baptized. At the end of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, go out and tell everybody to believe and be baptized. And so the disciples carried out this command through the book of Acts. And we can see them there encouraging the people they come across to believe in Jesus, to believe he died to forgive their sins and to go on to be baptized as an open demonstration that, yes, I want to end the old life when I didn't know Jesus to live in this new life with the reality of Jesus being my saviour. Now, so Jesus comes up to John the Baptist and he says, please baptize me. And John says, look, you have lived a perfect life. You are God's son. You do not need to be baptized. You do not need to go from what the old life to the new life. But Jesus says, that is true. But actually, I'm here as an example for people and I want to be baptized. And so please do it. And so John baptizes Jesus there in the River Jordan. And just at that moment when Jesus comes up out of the water, the Bible tells us that heavens opened and God spoke and he said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Take notice of him. And this was before Jesus had preached any sermons. It was before Jesus had done any miracles. It was before Jesus had got known to anybody, basically. But Jesus, God was saying, this is my only son and I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. So shall we have the next two readings, please? And so this is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11.
The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. There the devil tempted him. After 40 days and 40 nights of going without eating, Jesus was hungry. The temple came to him. He said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man must not live only on bread. He must also live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city. He had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. It is written, the Lord will command his angels to take good care of you. They will lift you up in their hands, then you won't trip over a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. Finally, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. If you bow down and worship me, he said, I will give you all his this. Jesus said to him, get away from me, Satan. It was written, worship the Lord your God. He is the only one you should serve. Then the devil left Jesus' angels, came and took care of him.
Jesus had just been baptized, and then the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness, the middle of nowhere, and Jesus fasted for 40 long days. And I couldn't do one day, you know. Jesus must have been really, really hungry. And then the devil comes along and he says, if you are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into some bread? Then you no need to be hungry. There's no food around here, but you can do it if you're the Son of God. Now, what had God just told Jesus when he got baptized? He said, you are my son. This is my son. I'm well pleased with you. And now the devil was saying, if you are the Son of God. But Jesus listened to what God said. He knew he was God's son. And that is so important. But the devil can come along and say, if If you're a nice person, you know, you wouldn't have done what you've just done. If only you were a good Christian, you know, you wouldn't have even thought of doing those things. And so we see Jesus being strong in the face of temptation. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he could turn these stones into bread, but there was a bigger purpose in life than eating some bread. And so Jesus went on and told him, "No, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to prove to you anything at all. I know that God is my Father." And if we look back into the Old Testament, we see right there at the beginning in the Garden of Eden that God allowed Adam and Eve to be tempted. And sadly, they gave in to that temptation, didn't they? They ate that fruit. They wanted a bit more knowledge, a bit more understanding of what it was like to be God. And so they ate that fruit. They listened to the devil instead of remembering God's word. And that's all the way through the nation of Israel. They failed so often, didn't they, at temptation. They listened to the nations around them and said, "Hey, this is kind of exciting if we do life this way." But they failed to go God's way. But Jesus, when he was tempted, he did not give in to temptation. Even when he was so hungry and the devil was saying, "Just turn these stones into bread. You can have some bread to eat. Otherwise, you're going to die." But Jesus knew his life was secure in God. And Jesus was not worrying about that. He knew he had God's approval. And he knew his status with God as a God's son. And so he didn't give in to temptation. And one of our old memory verses, James 4:7. Anybody know James 4:7? James 4. Yes. Well done. Should we all say this? "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4:7. So we submit to God. Yes, God, you did tell me this. I do know that. I just need to remember it all the time and be sure. And then we resist the devil. And what happens? He will flee from us. You know, the devil can't stand it when we just say we've got God on our side. We don't need to go your way, devil, because we're going to go God's way. And this is what we need to keep in our minds this coming week. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know, we have a choice in these things. We can choose to go God's way, or we can choose to go the devil's way. And I just pray that we can really take the right choice and always go into God's way. So our last song is, "So Church, Arise and Put Your Armour On. Hear the call of Christ our Captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength which God has given." So how about we, do you like to stand up for this? You're not going to sing, obviously, but you know, you can stand up and church arise and put our armour on. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride. Give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. So Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that it can ring true in our hearts, Lord, and that it can just be with us as we go through this coming week. We pray for your strength to resist the devil, to submit to God, and we just ask for your love to fill our hearts, to overflow in through this coming week, Lord. And we just pray that for each one another, Lord, and as we will no doubt make a few mistakes, Lord, we just pray for your forgiveness and that we can know your love for us. Amen.